Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about doing the next thing. I don't know any more comforting motto in my life, and it has become a life motto for me, than these words, do the next thing. It just simplifies things. It gives me direction so often. And I was talking about how we must spend time with the Lord early in the morning, if possible, in order to get His directions for the day, and then set about methodically and faithfully doing what He tells us to do. Usually what God wants us to do is in the line of duty, D-U-T-Y, a word we don't hear very much anymore, but it is there for all of us, isn't it? We all have duties of one sort or another. We've been talking about holiness and the fact that our only chance to be holy is where we are. God is not going to yank you out of that situation and plunk you down in one where it's going to be easy to be holy. Your circumstances are precisely designed by the engineer of the universe to provide exactly the context in which you best can get to know God. Not this afternoon, in a different place, in a different context, but here, now. Not tomorrow, not next week. Take each hour as from the Lord's hand. Remember that the future does not belong to us, even this afternoon or this evening or tomorrow. They do not belong to us. It's this hour, this moment. Another thing that's comforting is to realize that not everything happens at once, and not everything has to be done at once. Sometimes when we feel just crushed with the burden of things to do, we sort of sit down in a pile of confusion, like the shipwrecked sailor that A.A. Milne tells about in his poem. He's shipwrecked on an island, and he sits down on the beach and tries to figure out what to do. Well, he thinks he could do this or that or the other thing, but he ends up doing nothing but basking in the sun wrapped up in a shawl because he can't decide which to do first. We don't have to do everything at once. If there's an enormous pile of things to be done, then choose one and do it and finish it. It's an unbearable burden if you look at everything that has to be done at once. It's also very helpful to me to remember, number one, to do the next thing, number two, that not everything has to be done at once, and number three, that I only have one thing to do. I only have one thing to do in my life, the will of God. And if I only have one thing to do, which is the will of God, then I have time to do it. Oh, yes, I have. It's so easy to say, well, I haven't got time to do this or that. Well, it's true. We don't have time to do the things which are not on God's list. We take time to do a lot of things that are not on God's list, and then we tell God that we couldn't do this, we couldn't get to church, or we couldn't do so-and-so for so-and-so, when the truth was we could have if we hadn't done those other things. So we have time to do everything that's on God's list. Look on the task of the moment as the will of God concerning you. The next one, likewise. Receive it. Accept it, piece by piece. As He apportions the work, the burdens, the surprises, the interruptions, He never forgets also to apportion the strength and the grace that we will need. Did you imagine that He would forget? There's a hymn that says, He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Now, there's a sense in which the next thing on my schedule almost every day involves one of the following five, or maybe three or four of the following five things. These are things that I have to think about constantly. And I keep them in alphabetical order in my mind so that I don't forget them. Book, correspondence, newsletter, gateway to joy, and schedule. The first thing, a book. It means that I'm practically always working on a book. So if there's any way to fit in time that day to work on the book, I have to consider that. By the way, I have to say these are not in the order of priority because the radio program, of course, is a very high priority since there is no variation. It has to go out 5 days a week. There's no variation in when the newsletter goes out. That's every other month, and the correspondence just keeps pouring in, and if I didn't keep on top of that, I would be drowned. So the book very often takes fifth place. But the second thing in alphabetical order after the book is correspondence. The letter that comes today, I try to answer today or tomorrow, not later. The third thing is the newsletter. It gives things that I've been thinking about or speaking about. The fourth thing on my schedule is the radio program. And the last thing is the scheduling for speaking. So alphabetical order, book, correspondence, letter, radio, schedule. Now, how am I to go about setting priorities? I also have laundry to do. I have groceries to buy. I have meals to cook, shirts to iron, the house to clean. Every now and then I have to get a permanent and water the plants and make a cake for company and buy birthday presents and, you know, all those little things, the things that you just wonder how you're ever going to remember and get done on time. But whatever God wants me to do, and I believe that God does want me to water the plants and get a permanent and make a cake and buy the birthday presents. But if I refuse to do the things that God wants me to do, then it immediately becomes a moral issue. And especially when God is telling me to do something very clearly that I don't want to do, it becomes a moral issue because there is something that I must will to do. When Jesus performed miracles in New Testament times, he very often asked somebody to do something. The man with the withered hand, he said to him, "Stretch forth your hand." The man had to will to do his will. And then Jesus did what he couldn't do. He healed it. And the paralyzed man, he said to him the impossible thing, "Get up and take up your bed." Now, God is not going to help you to stretch forth your hand or to take up your bed. You have to decide to do it. When God told Moses to lift up the rod, Moses had to lift up the rod. There are things that God is not going to help you with because you have to do it. But then, remember this, he is there to carry you through, to pick up where you leave off. Have you got paperwork to do that's just about to drive you bananas? Sit yourself down at the desk or the table or the kitchen counter, wherever you do your paperwork, and just pick up the first piece of paper and start doing it. Balance your checkbook. Work out the budget for next month. Add up your taxes, your deductions, whatever. Whatever that paperwork may be. God is there to carry you through, but he is not going to sit you down at the counter. He is not going to pick up that piece of paper for you, and he is not going to do the addition and the subtraction. But the amazing thing is that when we actually set ourselves to obey and do the next thing, it not only is a revelation of how willing God is to help us, but, you know, it really does become a joy. It really becomes a fulfilling thing in itself because we're doing it for God. And I believe that we can do literally everything that we do for God. Paul said, if you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. I think Paul was picking the two simplest and most obvious things that all of us do. If you can do those things, so simple, so obvious, things which are not difficult to do, things that most of us don't resist doing at all, if you can do those for God, can't you do the rest? Do the next thing, but do it in obedience to God. Do it with a song. Do it with gratitude.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.